The bells of Vyshkov's Renaissance Church and Town Hall ring out over Masaryk Square, the main thoroughfare of this town of 23,000 inhabitants, which lies about half an hour's drive from the Moravian capital of Brno. The first written reference to Vyshkov dates back to 1141, where its name appears on an ecclesiastical document. By the 13th century, the town was listed as part of the property of the Bishop of Olomouc, and it was prosperous enough to be considered one of the bishopric's most important towns by the 14th century. The Hussite Wars, which broke out in the Czech lands in the 15th century, after supporters of the Bohemian reformer Jan Hus rebelled when he was executed, brought Vyshkov's early development to a grinding halt. Renata Kotulanova is a historian at the Vyshkov Museum.
Tehdejší biskup Jan Železný byl jedním z hlavních odpůrců husitství, patřil k husovým.
The bishop of the time, Jan Železný, was one of the main opponents of Hussitism. He was one of Hus's accusers at the Council of Constance, where the Czech reformer was burnt at the stake. He was very much hated by the Hussites in the Czech lands. Naturally, they set about raising all that belonged to him. The town Vyshkov was very badly devastated by them, and in addition to this, the nearby bishop's castle of Melice was destroyed. Although this building only stood for around a century, the so-called Melice tiles have survived to this day. They're one of the museum's most important exhibits and are practically unique in Europe. No other localities can boast such wonderfully decorated glazed fireside tiles.
Glazovaná kamna se prakticky nejsou nějak známa z jiných lokalit.
After being devastated during the Hussite Wars, Vyshkov enjoyed a prolonged period of development and renewal. It was rebuilt under the auspices of Bishop Tas from Cherná Hora, and a time of prosperity followed. Vyshkov's industry boomed thanks to the fact that it lay on a number of trade routes, and the town became well known as a centre of drapery and pottery production. But if Vyshkov's central location helped the town greatly during periods of stability, it also meant that it was vulnerable to marauding troops in times of conflict. Consequently, says Renata Kotulanova, the 30 Years' War in the 17th century saw the town relive the destruction and renewal it underwent in the Hussite era.
Protože to město vzhledem k tomu, že leželo na křižovatce cest z Brna na Olomouc, na Kroměříž, tak bylo to velice výhodné.
The town lies on the crossroads between Brno, Olomouc and Kroměříž, which was a great advantage in times of peace, but which also meant that the town was always affected by any conflict that took place in the Czech lands. After the 30 Years' War, Bishop Karel Dluhý had to rebuild the town again because the town had been occupied and burnt down by Swedish forces in the conflict. Paradoxically, this was very advantageous for the town because during this period, the bishop added a Baroque wing to the chateau. He restored the chateau gardens, he established a gallery at the chateau, which had a rich collection of 220 paintings. A theatre was also opened, where they performed Italian operas. The bishop's mint was even moved to the town for a while. At that time, the place was actually known as the Moravian Versailles.
Tehdy byl Vyškov dokonce nazýván Moravské Versailles.
Unfortunately, this golden era came to an abrupt end in 1753, when Vyshkov succumbed to a massive conflagration, which left only two buildings standing. The fire of Vyshkov had actually been started by a 17-year-old girl, called Victoria Vesela. She had set fire to some buildings in the hope of securing work for her boyfriend, who was a carpenter. Victoria ended up paying for what she did and, rather fittingly, was burnt at the stake for her crime. Vyshkov's famous castle was destroyed in the blaze, and although a new building was built, it never achieved its former glory. Even so, it was still considered a fitting location for the Russian general Suvorov to build it there during the Napoleonic Wars. Tsar Alexander of Russia and Emperor Franz of Austria also met in the castle on the eve of the Battle of Austerlitz, which took place in the nearby Slavkov district. Although Vyshkov once again rose from the ashes of the fire of 1753 and expanded greatly during the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century, it was to go up in flames once more in 1917, when another massive fire swept through the town. The blaze took 2 days to be quelled, and 730 Vyshkov citizens lost their lives in the conflagration. It also did extensive damage to the town's Renaissance Square. Like so many previous conflicts in the region, the Second World War also took its toll on Vyshkov. Renata Kotulánová again.
Samotné město bylo velice postiženo v závěru války, protože se tudy vlastně...
The town itself was very badly affected at the end of the war, because the front gradually moved to the town from Brno along with the Red Army. There was a major clash here when Vyshkov was liberated on April the 30th. The Germans retreated to the surrounding hills, and the town was basically under fire until victory was declared on May the 9th. As a result, Vyshkov was one of the cities worst affected by bombing during the war.
Takže Vyškov patřil jedním z nejvíc postižených měst bombardováním.
These events left a lasting impact on the town. And even though its picturesque main square was rebuilt once more and is still worth a visit, it's hard not to wonder how splendid it might have looked today had it survived the turbulent events of the town's history. Vyshkov expanded greatly during the 20th century and became a garrison town following the establishment of Czechoslovakia after the First World War. Thanks to its army past, the town now has a fascinating museum of military aircraft, mostly from the Soviet era. Vyshkov is also famous among Czechs as the birthplace of Klement Gottwald, Czechoslovakia's first communist president. Apart from the dubious honour of being home to a notoriously Stalinist president, the renowned Arab scholar Alois Musil is another of Vyshkov's famous sons. This Orientalist travelled extensively in the Middle East at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th centuries. His seminal works on Arab language and culture made him one of the leading Arabists of his day, and his status in the field was only rivalled by that of English scholar T.E. Lawrence. Many of the artifacts that Musil brought back from his trips to the Orient are now on permanent display at the Vyshkov Museum. Besides taking in all that the Castle Museum has to offer, no trip to Vyshkov would be complete without paying a trip to the town's zoological gardens. Established in 1965 by local animal lover Zdeněk Sokolička, the zoo has grown in terms of its size and ambition from a small petting zoo of farmyard animals to an extensive facility housing many exotic animals from all over the world, including yaks, camels and lemurs. Nevertheless, one of the zoo's managers, Dagmar Nepergena, says the enterprise has managed to retain a distinct identity as a unique menagerie of domestic animals from all over the world.
Tak my se specializujeme speciálně na hospodářská zvířata a na taková primitivní.
We specialize in farm animals and in the so-called primitive breeds of animals, which have retained the basic characteristics of the original species. We have farm animals from all over the world, from Africa, Asia and South America. We primarily have ducks, goats, sheep, breeds of animals that were much more common in the past, but which have become increasingly exotic. The children who come here today are often seeing sheep or goats for the first time.
Takže dneska se tato zvířata stávají téměř stejně raritní jako ta exotická.